I had a graduate student at the time whose name is Nate Keck, who's now here in Indianapolis as a cycling coach for Marion University. And he approached me with the idea of a study that he thought would be unique with this four-man team doing the Race Across America. And that's all he said, and I wasn't that intrigued by it because it's not that interesting of data to just have four guys racing across the country, somewhat predictable. And then he changed my mind because he said they were all over 70.
How'd they do?
They set the record for that age group, which was astonishing. They finished the race in 6.5 days.
What is their secret? I'm not trying to impugn them. Performance enhancers?
Yeah, I think that their secret was part in their strategy for how they approached each leg of the adventure, because they worked in teams of two. You can only have one rider on the road at a time, but they work in teams of two, and the other two are resting, and each work segment is about an 8-hour window, and so one rider is on the road going at it for about 15 minutes, and then he'll transition or tag off to the next rider, who then puts in a hard 15 minutes, and they go back and forth for 8 hours. And then they switch with the team that's just finished resting for 8 hours, and so then they get a big break, and they're able to eat enough and recover. And I was joking with Nate. I said, man, you must have broke a few RV doors, because that's a lot of in and outs into that camper. So, yeah, they can only have one rider on the road, so it's a very aggressive transition strategy. But that, I think, was a big part of their secret.
Who were these guys? I don't mean names necessarily, but is this all they do? Are they retirees? What?
They're retirees, but they grew up racing and very active, and I don't know a lot about them except that they have an uncanny ability to race pretty fast for very long distances.
How did you investigate them?
So this was a descriptive study, so all we were interested in is we didn't want to disrupt their flow or their race whatsoever, because this is a pretty extensive training strategy and a lot of money is involved with the training and the preparation and the actual race itself. So we've done these kind of studies a lot with other racers and other military folks and wildland firefighters, where we can kind of swoop in and give a couple of stable isotopes in a water solution that they just consume. And if we couple those measurements with measures of body weight periodically throughout the event, we can actually quantify how much water is leaving the body and coming back into the body every 24 hours or for the course of this whole event. And we can also calculate very accurately their energy demands, which is how many calories they've expended each 24-hour window over the course of the whole event.
Stable isotopes, what does that mean?
Well, stable isotopes are naturally occurring. They're present in the body and they're present in the water that we consume, just in very small amounts. One's an isotope of hydrogen, one's an isotope of oxygen, and they're just coupled together in a water solution. But they're different than the bulk of the hydrogen and the oxygen components within the body. And so because they're different, we can track them uniquely by looking at the ratios of those particular isotopes and the natural occurring oxygen and hydrogen within the body.
So
and we just track it by taking samples that they're going to get rid of anyways, and that's in the urine.
Huh. So what'd you find out about these guys?
Well, we've seen big numbers in a lot of our human studies, but we've never studied subjects in that age category. And this is a very aggressive ride, and we thought that we'd see big numbers, but the numbers ranged from about 5,000 calories up to about 7,500 calories every 24 hours. That is an enormous number for an average, young, healthy, very active person. When you consider the age of these guys, I mean, most of the U.S. population sort of checks off older athletes as just older guys that like to be physically active. So to see these big of numbers in this age group is just awesome.
What does this then tell us about the limits, or maybe the perceived limits of, I don't know what the word would be, exertion as we age?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this, I wouldn't say this changes the rule, but when you see numbers like this, these are the highest numbers that have ever been measured in a higher age group like this, and they're double and then some compared to age-matched males that are obviously less active. But it definitely shows that aging is a function of obviously a lot of different factors, but if you make the right choices and if you remain physically active at various levels, I mean, humans are stitched together to do huge things no matter what our age. We're very capable of expending large amounts of energy and turning over large amounts of water in relatively short periods of time. And so these numbers just sort of challenge the concept that as we get older, we have to get less active. That's certainly not the case. And yeah, there are disease states that show up as a function of aging, and some of those are related to aging, but a lot of those ailments begin early in life because of bad choices that humans classically make in this mechanized world. And that is that we just discard our desire or interest in physical activity. And in doing so, we lose a lot of the capabilities that we were put together to use on a daily basis. That's a big part of this conference, is the concept that exercise is medicine. That's a big part of the theme of this conference, and how profound exercise is at defending humans against a lot of disease states that are linked to physical inactivity.
Boy, that is going against the tide of every imaginable trend right now. We're eating more, doing less activity, looking at our computers and TVs more, and getting bigger and slower in the process.
Yep, scary.
So what do we do about it? What's your advice for the typical person who maybe wants to get in better shape and exercise a little more, but is just having a difficult time getting motivated?
I wish I could help with the motivation, because that seems to be the key. The science is so steadfast and obvious, from animal models to human models, now of all ages. I guess it's never too late to consider physical activity. There's certainly lots of resources around the country and within the Missoula community that can help. And so if you just seek out those resources, it's never too late to start a walking program, which then could lead to this and then to that. And next thing you know, you're on the bike across the country. So who knows?
And you know what's more, when you get up and just, never mind across the country cycling races, just get up, go around the block. Am I wrong, or does it just clear your head out, emotionally make you feel a little better, and gets your heart pumping at the same time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have been at the university since 1994. I've never owned a parking pass, and I ride my bike year-round back and forth to campus. I've accumulated enough commute miles to have ridden across the country 3.5 times just in my commute back and forth to campus. And you're right, that little bit of physical activity, there's no rule on how much you have to do. You can add it up throughout the day, which is probably better than one bout of activity. But just a little bit of physical activity at various times throughout the day will have tremendous impact on so many physical parameters, but then the host of psychological impacts and positive aspects of it are, I don't even think we've tapped the surface of what it's capable of. I think we could get rid of 3/4 of the medications that we use on a regular basis if we just figured out how to integrate physical activity better into our lives.